It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
And welcome back to Big Dumb Picture Show. As always, I am your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by Jackie Shreves.
Hello.
And Pat Deering.
Hi.
And we are in part two of our ongoing Purge trilogy. I don't want to say coverage because we're a podcast. Coverage implies importance of some degree, but the series, I guess. We're in part two of the series. We just finished watching The Purge Anarchy, a film from summer 2014, and obviously a sequel to The Purge, which we talked about last time. This movie was made for $9 million, and it grossed $111 million worldwide, which is pretty insane. Like, every single one of these movies has been made relatively cheaply by, like, Hollywood mainstream film standards and has been super goddamn profitable. So they can keep making these movies forever, as far as I'm concerned. we'll see if you guys agree when we get to the next one, Purge Election Year. But as I've stated before, I love these movies. I am a huge fan of these movies. You two had not seen The Purge Anarchy. So I guess let's delve into that first. Jackie, how have you not seen this?
Well, slight addendum to the last podcast, which I'm sure you all remember. I said I watched the first Purge when I was in high school. I was totally not in high school at that time. I was already in college. But it was during a time where you're still like friends with your high school friends. So That's how I remembered going to watch it with them. And then after that point, you kind of have your college friends. And none of my college friends like scary or thriller or shooty murdery movies. So I could never find anyone to go watch things with me throughout, like, all of college until, like, the last year. I couldn't watch anything that was, like, labeled, like, slightly scary. No one would watch it with me. So I was like, well, I guess I'm just not going to the movies ever because I don't have that much effort to go on my own.
Yeah.
So that's how I hadn't seen this. I really enjoyed the first one and really wanted to see the second one, but it just didn't come together.
So what kind of stuff did your college friends go see? Like, what were you able to get them to go see with you in the theaters?
Mostly comedies, sometimes some like superhero movies, because those were generally understood, but it was honestly mostly comedies. Wasn't a whole lot of movieing for a couple years.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Your friends sound kind of lame.
Yeah.
They sound like a bunch of goddamn nerds, but like not even the fun ones. Like they kind of were okay with like superhero movies.
Yeah, kind of okay. No, it's okay. I made more and more progressively nerdy friends as it went on, and then I could watch more scary movies. And now I'm sitting here with you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, all you had to do was either hang out with high schoolers or people 7 years your senior. That's all it, took. That's fair. I hate everyone my age, so I get it. Pat, you look like you were about to say something.
I was going
to
say, it's just weird to me that OSU students having a world-renowned theater within walking distance, at which I believe you get cheap-ass tickets.
Oh, yeah, and you can get a coupon in the Saver for buy one, get one free tickets.
Oh, man, how did you not go see a movie, like, every 2 days?
Yeah, I don't know either. It doesn't make sense in retrospect. I'm always telling students I see, hey, there's a coupon in the Saver. You should go to the movies.
Yeah, go to the movies. But then they'll do crazy things. Like they didn't show Monsters University when it came out.
Oh, really? Wow.
Like, yeah, like they were very like the programming and the president especially was just like, oh no, that's I don't do well. I was like, it's a Pixar movie. You don't like you just throw that on, you're gonna clean up with a family crowd. Because the thing is like with the exception of like special programming there, I don't feel like they show a lot of they don't regularly show like a lot of family oriented program.
Yeah, that's true.
So
what's this place?
This would be the Gateway Film Center, which we are all patrons of and I am a big fan of, even though, yeah, it was totally weird that they didn't show Monsters University.
Also, that's a movie about going to college on a college campus. Like they would have been, oh, that's relatable. Like I went and watched it.
Right? It's like, oh, hey, what would Animal House be like without any of the raunchy stuff?
Exactly.
And the people are monsters instead of humans.
Just a different kind of monster.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone knows that the real monsters of any college are the people who run their athletic programs.
That's true, though.
I'm just saying, college athletes should get paid, but hey, who am I? Pat, yeah. Obviously you hadn't seen the first one, but like...
Nope, then I didn't see this one either. You know, there's a weird part of me where sometimes if a movie has a sequel come out, I immediately get suspicious and think less of the first movie since there was a sequel churned out, especially if like in the course of a year they churn out the sequel. And I think this one was a little more than a year, right?
Yeah, it was a couple years.
Couple years.
Like, I think the first one was 2011, 2012. This one was 2014, and election year was 2016.
Got
and
it.
Now in 2018, we're going to get The Purge, The Island. So.
Ooh, The Island. Yeah, you know, I think it's a little bit of an after effect of growing up and being really into the Resident Evil movies and just, you know, sequel after sequel after sequel, and they're just bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're just bad.
It's I don't know that it's funny, because it's not particularly funny, but it's just coincidental that you mentioned that, because I just bought all the Resident Evil movies. Because I found them relatively cheap, and also for research for a potential project, but it was supposed to be delivered here yesterday, according to USPS, and guess what?
Uh-oh.
Didn't fucking come yesterday.
Ooh, burn on USPS.
Yeah, United States Postal Service can fucking suck my dick.
So weird, I just watched the episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine last night, where they have to work with USPS. So it's very funny. A very timely burn for me and no one else. It's a good episode.
Oh, man, who's the head of the post office in that one?
Like Ed Helms.
Ed Helms, that's what it is. I was like, I know it's not Chris Parnell, but yeah, Ed Helms, there it is. Perfect. Like, I knew it was somebody. Yeah, that's another wonderful show that's still on fucking hiatus, and I'm very sad about it.
Yeah, it's so good.
So, I kind of want to mention, this has nothing to do with anything. The one time Pat and I have ever crossed paths in a movie theater was when we both went to see Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark separately.
Mm-hmm.
I was there with a friend, and you were there on a date, I believe.
I was, yes.
Was that a date with Nathan?
No, that was a date with Josh.
Okay.
A different doctor.
Okay, that's what it was. That's what it was. It was the medical thing that I was like, it's like, I didn't think Pat was dating him at that point. Okay.
Yeah.
That was just for us. But hey, I mean, if you're only going to go to the theater once every 6 months, Indiana Jones is, well... Raiders of the Lost Ark is as good a reason as any.
Yeah, 35mm was something else.
Oh, yeah.
It's really cool to see
good
that.
Good time. Alfred Molina and his breakout 1 minute role in the very beginning. Oh, cool. Let's dive into this. So, as we talked about previously, the first Purge movie is basically a home invasion movie, focuses entirely on the effects of the Purge within this one home of an affluent family in the suburbs. And this one's just like, all right, let's just open up all the floodgates and see what happens when this spills out onto the street. And I think we get a really great idea of what Purge Night looks like, because pretty much the entire movie, like the movie starts with a little less than 2 hours to go until the Purge begins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that I love about these movies is like, they're not like, they don't spend half the movie talking about this thing and then that part takes 1 minute. It's like, oh no, this entire movie basically happens within the 12-hour span that the Purge mm-hmm. covers. And it's not necessarily real time, but like it's as close to real time as you can get without it being grueling, like say something like 24 is. Because that's too much. Like I don't need to know what happens every single second of every single minute. I was like, no, there's no way that Jack Bauer's life is this interesting that I need to see every minute in the span of a day. I don't buy that. So there's a lot of great coverage. We finally get not that we knew this when it came out, but we get Frank Grillo as a Sergeant Leo Barnes, who becomes the big recurring character in the next one, which is great, because this franchise needs a hero to center around, or at least like a main character to follow. Because from the first one, we see the guy that the family takes in the beginning, played by Edwin Hodge, he shows up as a member of the Purge resistance movement, which that's something else we can get into, I guess. What did you guys think of this one?
It was good. I really liked this one. It was kind of high energy the whole time. There were some really, really great out of nowhere jump scares. Mm-hmm. I tend to overreact to jump scares, even though I love them. I think they're fantastic, actually. And, you know, they went a little over the top with gore in a few instances, I think. Sure. There was a lot of blood and guts in this one.
Yeah.
But, no, it was great to see it from the perspective of the people who, the new founding fathers are really trying to effectively wipe out, you know, everyone below the poverty line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really liked this one. While I was watching it, I was thinking, if this was the first one that came out, I feel like people would have been like, that's a little much on social commentary. But I like how The Purge did the small and then built it bigger, because I feel like just sort of that mindset really helps it be like, oh no, this is like a believable thing that we're really worried about. But I really did like it. I thought I was not going to like Frank Grillo's character, because he was the classic, I'm a bad boy who's had some things happen to me and I'm upset about it. But I actually didn't hate him. So that was good. He was still very likable. Did hate a few of the other people, but we can get into that.
Yeah, I really like Frank Grillo's character in these movies. And especially, like, this is the first time I've seen this since it came out. Because I saw this and Election Year both in the theaters. And, like, going back, just watching that very opening scene where, like, you see him kind of, like, gearing up and checking his guns. I was just thinking, I was like, why didn't this guy play the Punisher?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think John Bernthal is solid as the Punisher. But, like, going back and watching Frank Grillo, I was like, fuck, man, throw this dude a bone. I don't care that he's already in the Marvel Universe as Crossbones. Make him the Punisher, too. Like, yeah. He looks the part. He's intimidating. He's tough. Like. So yeah, so let's so some of the things that we see get built upon. We obviously, as I mentioned, we see, I don't know that the movement is ever named, like the anti-purger group. Like, yeah. I don't think they really, it's just an American flag with NFFA like X'd out and that's it. But it's led by a guy named Carmelo Jones, who is played by Michael K. Williams, who is best known for being Omar in The Wire. And man, he really Omars it up in this movie,
yeah.
which is great, because like his whole thing in The Wire is kind of like this Robin Hood type criminal who like steals from the drug dealers and shit, and then he brings pretty much that same energy to this role. We see kind of more of the it's more clearly laid out. Like in the first one, The Purge touches on this idea that the Purge exists for social engineering, and that in this one, like, it's explicitly stated, like with Big Daddy and like the machine gun truck that goes around in the paramilitary units, is like, poor people aren't killing enough of each other, so we're helping boost the numbers a little bit with population control. And that is completely fucked, because like, as we've seen, pretty much anyone who's poor isn't in a position to buy like high-end security systems or buy better weaponry to defend themselves. And like a lot of people don't live below the fucking poverty line, because the ones that do get fucking killed every year during the Purge.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck rich people.
Yeah, I gotta say, watching these movies during the Trump administration is very cathartic.
Right?
Especially anytime a rich person gets blown away.
Oh, it's so
it's
good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that portion in the end, also they're basically committing slavery. Like they're literally selling people,
yeah,
which is completely fucked up. And then there are people hunting each other for sport, which, like, I love the most dangerous game, so I'm never mad when that trope gets thrown into any movie. but yeah, like when they're stuck in that weird like garden gallery whatever thing end.
Yeah.
And then Frank Grillo just starts fucking killing rich people's, like, I don't want to say sexually it did anything to me, but like, it was satisfying. It was very satisfying. and there was a part of me that really hoped, cause like after that scene when Frank Grillo steals the car of the woman who's like doing like the bidding for them and everything, I was like, shoot her in the back. Shoot that woman in the fucking back while she's running away. Come on, shoot her in the back. Like, this is one time where no one's gonna be like, I don't think that was the right thing to do, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And then he lets her go. But
you know. I was really hoping they would, like, she wouldn't have a second car. She would just get, like, turned out on the streets.
Be
like,
oh, deal with it. Man, that would have been great.
Yeah.
follow that through. Maybe there's like a deleted scene where it's like them exiting the parking garage and then like the fucking weird dude with the god mask runs into her out on the streets and is like, eh, no, I changed my mind. I'm going to purge tonight.
Speaking of that, that part where they're all in the weird, like, super aggressive laser tag zone there.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was, too. I was like, this is aggressive laser tag.
Whoever made these movies has a bit of a fetish for, like, spooky girls with knives.
Yeah.
Like, that was in the first one, and I was like, all right, in the second one, probably won't have any, you know, like, weird wispy women with bayonets showing up, and nope. Happened again.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't want to disappoint you, but that trend continues into three. Literally like an entire gang of girls in creepy mask with knives.
Nice.
So, yeah, real fun time.
They all have the exact same knife.
Yeah, they all just keep that same machete that they bought at Sharper Image or whatever.
Bulk order or something. Like all those, the rich people who were killing the Papa guy. They all had the same freaking knife. And I'm like, well, that would make sense if you're going to bulk order. Be like, I want 10 of those.
Yeah.
And then go.
On that, oh man, yeah, that's a whole other thing. The fucking the dad at the beginning that like he offers himself to be martyred. It's literally sells himself to a rich family to provide for his two daughters. It's like, god damn, this is like there's just all these things that like I feel like somebody watches the first Purge and it was like, well, what about this? What about that? And then and this one's like, hey, you got questions? We got answers. The other really fucked up thing is when Frank Grillo and the group that we're following throughout the movie, they get kidnapped by the gang in the van that like was following him from the beginning. And like the daughter, Callie, has that exchange with the leader, the guy in the god mask. Like he lifts it up, he's just like, we're not purging, we're just trying to make some money. Like, so literally the Purge turns poor people on poor people on top of everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of harsh. I was wondering the whole movie. I'm like, why are they targeting this couple until he fully explained? And I'm like, oh, that makes sense in a really kind of sad way.
Yeah. Oh, it's fucked. Yeah. I was like, I would just love to see a movie where it's just rich people getting killed from start to finish.
That'd be great.
Like, just show me the Purge. Like, just show Frank Grillo just, like, going, like, full fucking Punisher. And let's talk about Frank Grillo's character, Leo Barnes. So he's set on this path to revenge because a guy who was drunk driving killed his son a year ago, which totally fair reason to want to see someone dead. I completely understand that. The guy is acquitted on a technicality, which like he blew over the legal limit. So I'm trying to figure out like, was he not Mirandized properly? Like where is the technicality, I guess? From there.
Yeah, I mean, in without more explanation, there's a million technicalities that could have happened. Without more insight,
well, I feel like that's just a thing that movies throw in when they don't really want to get into it. It's like, oh no, like all the evidence was there. This dude should have gotten put away. Oh shit, how do we get around this? It was a technicality. Okay, yeah, you say that, but like, what was the technicality? Legal technicality, man. Just they couldn't arrest him. They couldn't send him to jail. Why not? Oh, because of the technicality.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting. Like, so Frank Grillo's character clearly wants revenge for the death of the murder of his son, but specifically waits until Purge night. So that it's legal. So like he wants revenge, but like he's also not so consumed by it that he wants to do it illegally.
Right.
Which is a very weird, like that's not how revenge is supposed to work.
Right. I'm
like,
so
it's supposed
angry.
To be this all consuming thing. I was like, oh, I want revenge for my son's murder, but like I don't want to do a bid. Like,
right. Yeah. I'm so angry I could kill someone, but I can't break a rule.
But it's super bizarre too, because like that's gonna be the hardest possible time to do it, because like he has to travel from one side of the city to the suburbs, and like he like you see like his car is armored up like the goddamn Punishers, like so that he can drive to the suburbs. I was like, it would be easier to like just get away with this if you did it outside of the Purge. Because that's one thing that I feel like still hasn't been addressed is like what level of crime exists without a Purge time. because like there's no way it's 0%. Like I refuse to believe that like not a single crime happens outside of this 12-hour period once a year. Because the whole point of the like people who break the law is like they don't think it applies to them. So why would they bend to the fucking whim of the purge?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I'm also interested to know, you know, how do people like go on living their lives after the purge?
Yeah.
Like the sister who just like blows away her sister. Like, what was her plan for the rest of her life? Like, she just killed her sister in front of her parents. Mm-hmm. Like, what? I don't.
Like, oh, she's going to get invited to family reunions or Thanksgivings ever again? Yeah. And that scene is fucking nuts. Because, like, especially remembering you hadn't seen it, like, I liked watching Jackie's reaction, like, during that entire scene. She was like, this seems really tense. I was like, oh, you don't even know. And then she was like, oh, the way, oh, they're being real snippy with each other. It's like, oh, she's catching that vibe they're putting down. All right.
Oh, yeah. Coming from a family where those kind of remarks are like commonplace, you're like, you're doing it to like really get at someone else because you don't like them. But there was the added element that I knew any minute someone could easily be killed.
Yeah. And I do like that about this, because like during the purge, at no point do I feel like the movies give you breathing room.
Yeah.
Like even in that apartment, like as soon as like the first time the sister says, I'm just like, oh, this is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, oh boy, what is going to happen here? And then a shootout breaks out, wakes up the poor father who was just sleeping in his favorite chair.
And why would she cheat with her? It was Tanya, I think her name was. Cheat with her sister's hillbilly looking husband?
Yeah.
Like of all the people in the world.
Hillbilly Latino looking husband.
Yeah. No, it was an interesting mix.
In his fatigues.
He just didn't look like the best prospect.
And it's also weird too, because like, because the sister says she found out about it by reading their emails, which like, who leaves a paper trail? Like, first off, like, but also on top of that, like, the entire time, the sister was being really flirty with him. I was like, all right, now you're just rubbing it in your sister's face. Like, I didn't know much about you based on the 30 seconds we saw you at the beginning of the movie, but, like, I get why someone would murder you now for sleeping with their husband.
Yeah.
If you got the brass balls, be like, oh, I'm going to dance with this guy that I fucked that was your husband.
We don't know how much wine she drank. We only saw the last glass, so she could be acting a little uninhibited.
That's true. And she was popping
those
pills.
Yeah, whatever the hell that was.
But that was weird too, because like the first time I saw this, like when she was drinking and like taking the pills, like I took that as like, oh, I think she's trying to get the nerve up to do something.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh no, she's the one that got fucking ventilated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wild, wild scene. Even the mom got punched.
Yeah.
No one got out of there unscathed.
Yeah, everybody got fucked up at some point. The poor mom got punched. The knife sisters got punched a couple of times. Although the knife sisters had it coming because they're rich, so fuck them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
We almost got through this movie without a creepy rapist character.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the guy in the beginning.
Diego,
but... But I will say, I feel like the brakes got pumped on it before it got too uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, and I know we talked about this before, like when we did Green Room, about how like there's this horror trope where it's just like, you cannot do sexual violence.
Yeah,
like,
you could just not.
Like, hey, you know what's scary? Violence at all. Like, you don't need, like, there's no goalpost that, like, you need to push further down to, like, make it worse. Like, this is all bad. This is all terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another one too, like where the first time I saw this, and like Ava was kind of dismissive towards him in the very beginning.
Oh yeah.
I was like, well, this is gonna come back, because there's one thing we learned from the first one, it's that the people in your life are the ones who are most likely to fucking turn on you first.
Yeah. No, as soon as he like popped into the frame and scared the crap out of her, I like saw him and I'm like, rapist. Yes. Like, he was really in her space.
Yep.
Yeah. And then it came out he was drunk and flirting with her. But I would agree. It was while he was like basically spending 10 minutes talking about how he was gonna probably rape them.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time you could kind of feel, okay, he's talking a lot and then someone's gonna kill him and we're gonna move on.
Yeah. And then, oh man, yeah, he got ventilated real good too.
It was great.
Yeah.
And that's the weird thing is like, if he's just gonna do that and then like not murder them, like. That again, like, how do you say hello to that person?
It's gotta be awkward.
Yeah, like those people probably are gonna want to break their lease, minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
better move out during the purge.
Yeah,
better do that a constructive eviction then.
So, yeah, there's definitely just a lot to take in. I like too that we saw, like just how all these fucking people like go nuts. Like there's the scene when they're sneaking around town after Frank Grillo saves them all and they're on foot. That woman who's on top of the building with like the megaphone, shouting, like just firing your fucking assault rifle into the air, like and ranting about.
She was great. I want a backstory for her.
I kind of did too.
I want to know how she got up there. What drove her to that?
Exactly.
And then like
she's just the assistant manager.
Well, then, like, all she was doing was just cherry picking poor people on the street, is what it looked like. And I was like, there's no motive to this. There's no purpose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, like, as soon as the purge begins earlier, too, we see that guy, like, go up on his roof with, like, a six pack and a sniper rifle.
Mm-hmm.
He just cracks open a beer and, like, just takes aim. I was like, this is this dude's night. Like, this is just how this dude is going to fucking party, I guess.
Yeah.
Was the insinuation that the lady on the roof was the one who also rigged up the snare that caught Shane?
Either her or it seemed like there were other people in the vicinity. Well,
there was the guy in the window that then, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think crazy lady on the roof was just being a crazy lady on the roof. But the guy in the window is like, oh no, I'm going to set some fucking traps. I was like, that's fucked up. Like,
that's just lazy. He's not even at the window. He's waiting for the trap to go off, and then he goes to the window.
Yeah. It's a bunch of fucking cowards.
Exactly.
Well, then, like, with the scene with the rich people in the aggressive laser tag area,
mm-hmm.
like, it's essentially a fox hunt. I was like, how is that sporting?
Yeah.
Like, in most dangerous game, like, he at least had, like, you know, a head start, like, in time to use the jungle to his advantage and stuff. It's like, you just threw like 7 or 8 unarmed people in here and gave everyone fucking shotguns and machetes. Like,
it's not even fun.
Yeah. Bunch of fucking rich cowards.
It's kind of like a fox hunt. Just that one fox and like 30 dudes on horses with a whole bunch of dogs.
Except this time the fox was Frank Grillo.
Yeah.
And man, there's one thing he hates more than the guy who killed his son. It's rich people.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew when he shot at those people, he probably thought the glass was bulletproof, but it was still just a nice release.
Oh, it was. Like, as soon as he saw it was bulletproof, like, I just remember watching it and just going, oh, man.
Of course it would be, but come on.
I want all of those rich people dead. Every single one of them.
Right.
Especially the little old lady for some reason. I don't know why, because she was the one talking the most.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, she was instigating. Like, she was the one, you know, talking about people like they're fucking cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then even then, when things started to get out of hand for her, she didn't, you know, send in her own goons. She sent in the wait staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To go in and which, kill like, them.
Which, like, is somebody in the service industry, like, how much are you making? You should hate rich people, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
turn around and murder her.
Yeah. Like, why aren't the fucking servers, like, turning their guns on all the rich people? You want to tell me that old lady never fucking stiffed you on a tip, dude?
Yeah. She 100% definitely probably did.
Oh, yeah. She's the kind of person that, like, leaves, like, advice written on the tip
line. Yeah.
She's absolutely that kind of person.
And then these dudes are going to run in there with their fucking cravats or whatever, and they're going to fucking shoot these poor people who probably tip fucking better than any of those fucking rich people do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it Ava? Is that the mom?
Yeah.
She works in a diner. She knows what it's all about. She never leaves less than 20%.
Yeah.
It's good.
I never leave less than 20%. I'm poor as shit.
Exactly. You always leave 20%.
I leave it to shitty servers sometimes.
Yeah.
Not like really shitty servers, but like some like shitty-ish servers. I'll still leave a decent tip.
I feel like it was a little weird how fixated they got on like Ava and that group.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when they went in the truck, they figured out, okay, it's basically poor people's housing complexes they're targeting. Okay.
Yeah.
And then she got away, and, like, the guy shot the what is his name? Big Daddy?
Big Daddy.
Fun. Gross. But so we shot him. So we pissed him off. And then they spent like the rest of the night just chasing that one group. I'm like, what? You're not even doing your own job well. Like, how many other people could you kill in that amount of time?
Exactly. Well, it's because the dude took it personal because he got shot in the face.
Yeah, it was a big
deal. To be fair, as someone who's never been shot, I can't imagine it feels good.
Especially not right there. Not just like across the cheek.
No, thank you.
No. Also, just another note on that rich little old lady who was running the fucking auction. Fuck her too, because her license plate had a Nation Reborn on it.
Oh my god.
So it's like, oh, you are part of the fucking problem, lady.
Oh my, that's gross.
The MAGA hat of the Purge universe.
And that's what I really like about this one too, is like you hear that repeated so much throughout the movie. Like it becomes like the Lord's Prayer, essentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is like, that's their God bless the USA, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it is fucked up. And that's the other thing. We'll talk more about it when we get to election year. But when election year came up, it literally uses like, it's time to make America great again. Like is part of like their campaign for marketing the film. I was like, yeah, no, that's accurate. This is the kind of shit that these people are mm-hmm. on board with.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I want to get into is, we talked a little bit about what the aftermath of purges would be like based on what we saw. I've always wondered like how the law would apply to things after the purge. So like, I think it's safe to say if somebody tries to kill somebody and only succeeds in maiming or injuring them after the fact, since it was done during the purge, probably nothing happens afterwards.
I'd assume not.
But in the case of them taking that rich lady's car, because they had that car after the purge ended, since it's still in their possession, are they then charged with theft?
Or is it like you stole it during the purge, now it's yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's an interesting question, because typically, if you steal something, like there are ways to acquire somebody's property without like purchasing it from them. It's adverse possession. There's a way to do it. It's typically when you take possession.
Why we got you here.
Yeah.
you take possession of somebody's say their land or their vehicle. I'm more versed on the land part. But adverse possession of property is you take possession of their property, you do it openly, notoriously, and you do it for a certain length of time. And if that person never objects, then it just becomes yours.
What?
At the end of the statute of limitations, they would have, say, like 20 years to be like, hey, get out of my barn. If those 20 years they don't, barn's yours.
That's so weird to me.
Adverse possession.
That's
yeah.
so weird to me.
And basically the way the law looks at it is if
squatter's
you,
rights.
Sort of like squatter's rights, but if you have land and you're not doing anything with it and somebody mm-hmm. else starts doing something with it and they do it in a way that you should know that they're doing that, and you never say anything, then they're putting the land to better use than you are. And it's old, old, old stuff that's been around forever. And the thing is, though, is with the purge stuff, even when it's, you know, adverse possession, you can't do it via theft. You can't just like take it and like run away with it and then it becomes yours, because you can never acquire something by theft. You have to acquire it via this weird adverse possession-y route. So that's an interesting question, because the taking of it is not illegal in the moment, but continuing to possess it
after the fact
is still probably trespass to chattels, and is still the owner of the vehicle probably has a tort claim that they can bring against them.
I'm sure they're not like responsible for returning it. They just ditch it and leave.
Yeah.
Find your car, lady.
The way you get it is you have to find the one DMV that's open, and you got to like transfer the title during the purge.
Purge title.
Yeah.
What happens purge to the border patrol during purge time?
Oh.
Because it's just American law. It doesn't insinuate that any other nation has the purge.
It's a fucking war zone. They should do that.
I wonder what happens to air travel during the purge, if in fact there even is any.
That would be uncomfortable. I don't want to be on a plane with people where it's like, are we killing people? Are we not?
Oh, yeah. No, me either. I mean, but I'm just, it's absolutely a facet of that world that we have seen nothing about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we see, like, you know, emergency services suspended, but, like, people still seem like they travel at least a little bit during the purge.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do if you've got a big meeting across the country scheduled for, like, literally the hour after the purge ends?
Well, yeah, that's a bad meeting.
Monday purge, meeting on Tuesday.
Say don't fly on an American air carrier. fly like Ryanair or something. Get on an international.
Oh, man, but what if it's over American airspace?
See, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. So much of travel or flight stuff is international law, but in American airspace, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe there's just this tons and tons of people from across the world trying to be in a flight that's going over the United States during the purge, just so they too can take part.
Yeah, and that's actually the next one. We can touch more on that too.
Okay.
Because travel comes into play kind of in the next one now that I'm thinking about it. I also wonder, you know, what is maritime law like during the purge?
Dude, what is maritime law anytime?
Yeah, maritime
law. No one understands me. Fucking admiralty law, it's the weirdest crap. No one has any idea.
I wonder, I'm sure there's some douchebag that like goes to a hospital during the purge. Because I was like, are people like, hey, maybe we leave the hospital alone. We're going to need that later. But I'm sure there totally are people who go to the hospital.
Yeah, because
there are rules in the purge, right? You said that there's
the only rules are no destructive devices listed above class 4, and all government officials ranked 10 or higher are off limits.
Yeah,
which that comes into play in the next one as well. Mm-hmm. But pretty much the only people that are immune to anything is high ranking government officials. Outside of that, no protection for like hospitals. Fucking orphanages, like relief centers, women's shelters, like nothing.
I mean, I have to imagine, like, you know, doctors are rich, so I'd have to imagine that some of these hospitals have like security staff that they got out there.
Okay,
but yeah,
I was thinking of rich doctors purging, and I was like, oh, that seems very contrary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
that probably also
that's even more horrific. It probably does.
Creepy rich doctors are all like, yeah, tonight I'm gonna just craft a new face from a person. Like, probably all kinds of weird fucking surgeries.
I always wanted to see if I could make cancer airborne.
Yeah.
Oh, that got dark.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking like, oh, Human Centipede took place during the purge. Oh, got it. Is it illegal after the fact? We don't know.
Yeah, because that's, surgery is long lasting.
They're still sewed together.
Oh, God, I hate that movie so much. That movie and that stupid fucking walrus one.
Oh, Tusk?
Yeah.
Tusk was pretty bad.
Ugh.
I was just wondering, do you think Air Bud happened during the purge?
It didn't matter if there wasn't a rule.
No rule says a dog can't play basketball because there's no rules.
Pulls out a gun, shoots the referee.
Air Bud just then Air Bud just turns into the first 3 minutes of the last Boy Scout.
there was a split second in this movie where there were dogs shown, like someone had a Rottweiler, and I just sat there for a second, thought, God, I hope the dog doesn't die because I will never live this down.
Kill a dog remember.
In Purge 2.
Well, to be fair, it looked like those dogs were being used to hunt people. So that's the other thing too. Like they were probably also trained as attack dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So for one, not even a full calendar day of the year, those dogs' sole purpose is to hunt, attack, and presumably murder people. Then the rest of the year, you have a murdery dog that you just have to keep at your house. It's like, how the fuck does that go over? Like, because we've seen in this, a lot of these people are, relatively speaking, normal people with families and lives and houses and all that shit. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I just took our Rottweiler out. Oh, hey, what's that in his teeth? Oh, three different people that he attacked last night.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some whole, like, purge economy, though, at this point.
Maybe you rent those dogs.
Yeah, there's some kind of special purge dog handler that takes care of him for
I mean, that makes sense. We've seen that there are security systems. Diego, the creepy rapist superintendent, even says like he bought the gun that he used special like to break down barricades. So
yeah, and those guys on the street were like, hey, do you need protection? Like selling stuff the day out.
Which, that was my other question. Like, it can't be legal for them to just be selling guns on the street like that.
It's not time yet.
Like, yeah, like they're like doing crime pre-purge.
Was it a gun show?
No, it wasn't a gun show. It was just, it was literally a couple of guys on the sidewalk, like just out in broad daylight.
I mean, I'd assume that gun laws are just as lax in Purge universe as they are in the real world.
But even then, like literally selling it on a sidewalk, like that's not legal.
No, no, it's not legal at all. Issue with American gun laws is though, is that like once the transaction happens, like tracing it back to the origination point is damn near impossible. It's still a paper system, like design, and it's so fucked up.
Sure, but that's the, like, they're not being discreet about it. Like literally all
that's very true.
All that had to happen was a cop drive by at any point and like, oh, hey, you can't do this. You're going to jail. Oh, but purge. You mean the purge in 2 hours? No.
Yeah. Sirens haven't gone off yet, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, let's be real. The cops are probably purging too, so they don't give a shit.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, they're getting amped up.
I mean, don't cops get to purge like all the time? Cops kill people and no one does a damn thing about it.
Yeah. Yep.
There it is.
Fucking cops.
Speaking of, do we see, like, in the bookends of both of these movies, do we see police, like, at all, like, in the non-purgy times? Because we've seen paramedics, we've heard sirens and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, have we seen a cop?
There was a police car leaving the hospital at the end of the movie.
Okay.
But that was, I mean,
yeah,
I
like, as far as, like, an actual police presence. Kind of in election year we see it a little bit, but like even then probably not to the extent that you're that you're hoping that will actually answer any real questions.
I gasped because I had a thought I remembered during the movie. When we see the emergency room, I was like, why the hell is the line for the ER not like out the door?
Yeah,
like I know the siren just went off, but also I feel like people would line up to go.
Oh yeah,
yeah, the roads seemed pretty normal for like a night of killing.
Well, it's, I do like that because, like, that hospital looks pristine, like, untouched. But then they pan up, like, and you literally, like, see clouds of smoke from, like, the downtown area.
Like, helicopters like,
and,
flying.
Yeah,
around.
And everything. And I was like, oh, yeah, right. That's where. So they should have just come and hung out at this hospital, apparently. Well, let's move into winding it down, I guess. Let's do our favorite moments, favorite scenes. Pat, let's start with you.
Ooh, favorite moment. I think my favorite moment is the point where he does turn around when they're in the laser tag-ish area, and he turns around and he just sprays the windows. Like, just, you know, ignores everything else around him for a second just to scare the shit out of those old rich people.
That's a beautiful
I love
moment.
It. It was great.
Mine was probably that entire scene in, like, Tanya's house. It was just a wildly entertaining family drama with murder. It was a very good time. I did want to mention, I didn't really like, probably my least favorite part, I didn't like that he didn't kill the guy who killed his son. I was like, I know it's the morally right thing to do, but I feel like this is a franchise in which morals don't really matter a whole lot. So I was kind of disappointed with that.
But because he didn't kill that guy, he doesn't get killed by Big Daddy at the end.
They had to put that in there. So I can't fight it that much because then he didn't die. And then apparently he's going to go on to do more things. But did really love the scene in Tanya's house when their sister's fighting. That was great.
Yeah, pretty good. Just having a disagreement and then a gunfight breaks out. Pup wakes up from his easy chair. It's like, oh, when I went to sleep, I had two daughters.
Yeah. Purge night. Got me again.
I think for me, I really like the moment when Frank Grillo turns and fucking sprays the rich people's bulletproof glass. But I think like that entire 10-minute stretch where they're on the streets in between the car breaking down trying to get to Tanya's family's place. Like, because you see so much more of what's going on in the city, And it's also just Frank Grillo being fucking badass the entire time. Like, the poor kid Shane, like, he's trying to, like, get out of the cable trap that he's in. And it's Frank Grillo just, like, fucking dropping dudes left and right. And then, of course, we also get that moment, like, later when the rat runs up, fucking Liz's leg, and she screams, yeah. And that guy comes down, and, like, fucking Frank Grillo just calmly passes his gun down, and then just grabs the dude by the neck and, like, fucking kills him. Like,
strangles
just,
him, yeah.
Like, but I love that, too, because, like, that's, like, 40 seconds long that, like, he's just, like, holding him. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, that's, yeah, it's not, like, a four-second thing like you see a lot of the times. It's like, it takes a while to crush somebody's windpipe or break his neck or whatever else he did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just that entire stretch, like, I think it's really well done. I think it does a great job of kind of conveying what's happening, because that also includes that moment, too, where they find one of the trucks after it had gotten hit by the anti-purger group, and there's like, oh, the government, like, is killing poor people. Okay. And again, it's just another thing that builds more in this universe.
I didn't want to forget, I want to put an honorable mention for favorite part is when Liz told Sean she loved him and he immediately died.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah, that, yeah, you laughed. I was like, oh, Jackie, read the room.
It was so violent and sudden. Like,
I remember being really bummed out when I saw this in the theater, and I was watching this time. I was like, oh man, I know what happens. Like, right around here, it's like, oh, okay, I love you. And it's, oh, okay, it's literally right when she says I love you, he just gets fucking shot to shit.
And then she joins the anti-purge army. She's off to go.
Yeah, that's to go, oh man, do some, that's murdering, creepy too. Because, like, you just see that psycho, like, she. Her exact words, I want to purge.
Yeah.
Like, that's what she says when, like, they're trying to get out of there. And it's like, oh, fuck. And, like, and it's just this whole fucking vicious cycle, because the anti-purgers are like, oh, no, fuck the purge. And it's like, yeah, but you're also kind of using the purge to cover, like, what you're doing, too. So, like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, just really Animal Farms itself the whole time. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Let's do plugs. So, Pat, what do you got coming up?
Let's see here. February 20th, we got Stand Up for Choice at Ace of Cups. Really excited for this one. We got Catherine Jessup from DC coming into headline. And Nikki Winkelman will be headlining with her as well. And a great, great lineup outside of that. And then I think that's it for me currently.
Cool. Jackie, how about you?
We have, I believe on the 19th is a Monday, we have the Pop Culture Mixtape Hate Edition show, which I'm so looking forward to, because I hate many things.
Oh, yeah.
It's at Mikey's Late Night Slice at 8.
As me, always, you can check out WhiskeyBearComedy.com and TheDustinMeadows.com for shows. A whole bunch of Whiskey Bear stuff coming up. Next month, we are doing an encore of the roast of the Disney Sidekicks at the Backstage Bistro, Tuesday, March 13th. You can get tickets for that, as well as Hot Dog, the fourth Friday in February. Just all kinds of shows coming up. I felt like there was another one I wanted to push, but it's escaping me. So yeah, WhiskeyBearComedy.com, TheDustinMeadows.com. Yeah, check it out.
Submit for that festival.
Oh, that's what it was. There we go. Hey, we're producing a comedy festival in May. The third annual Whiskey Bear Comedy Festival. We're super excited. We've got the Reformed Whores are going to be our headliner, a great musical comedy act. We've got a bunch of local shows on that festival, as well as Dungeons from LA via Way of Atlanta coming in as one of our specialty shows, which we're super excited for. You can check that out by going to WhiskeyBearComedyFestival.com. There's a link to go to the Indiegogo, submit, donate, all that stuff. The submissions close on Friday, March 2nd. So if you're a comic, jump on that. If you want to get advanced tickets at a discounted rate, jump on that as well. And yeah, check it out. It should be a fun festival.
Cool.
Well, Jackie, Pat, thank you guys for coming on the show.
Definitely.
Thanks to Eric, as always, for fielding audio and sound for us and all that jazz. And hey,
you're welcome.
Yeah. And hey, blessed be the new founding fathers of America, right?
Yeah.
God bless.
Nah, fuck those guys. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
Uh, I am me. That's me.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's around the same.
We're all ourselves, so it's great.
Until we're not.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
We rolling?
Yeah, we've been rolling.
We've been rolling. Just like Limp Bizkit. All right.